This is Otherworldly Experiences, a Stargate Atlantis fandom crossover fic, featuring members of My Chemical Romance and Fallout Boy. Written by Gala Apples and read by Raina Jenkins. Story is rated NC-17 and contains warnings for a rape/non-consensual sexual situation, with an additional tag for aliens made them do it, wings, nightmares, insomnia. Pairings include Ronan Dex Mikey Way, Frank Guerrero Mikey Way, Pete Wentz Mikey Way, John Shepard Mikey Way, Rodney McKay Mikey Way, and Taylor Imogen Mikey Way. Author's note. Non-con is only in the Aliens Made Them Do It section, which is the second if you'd prefer to skip over it. It's ridiculous to be both a runner and a mental case. Half the time he doesn't even want to escape them. Let the fucking Wraith come. At least that way he can be with Gerard and Frank. His brother and boyfriend were both taken away. He didn't see either of them die on that disgusting ship of flesh, but he can't stop seeing it in his head. Frank, with his shirt ripped open, a cruel mockery of their past impatience. Gerard withering like a month-old sestal in the sun. He sees it when he has a minute to sit down. Sees it when there's a black-haired villager when he raids for supplies. Sees it every time he falls asleep. The only thing that keeps him running is knowing how pissed both would be if he surrendered. Wrong word, really. More of an assisted suicide. They would both kick his ass for it in their own special way. Gerard would rant, hold his rolled tobacco in one hand, and not even notice as he waved his arms to express himself that Mikey was dodging to not get the embers on his skin. Frank would be more straightforward. He'd probably punch Mikey half a dozen times and spit in his face for such cowardice. So he keeps going, hoping one day he'll be able to imagine them without aching. The only time his crushing loneliness gets better is the few times he runs into another runner. It calls double the amount of Wraith, but for an hour, or a day, or even a week, depending on what else the Wraith are dealing with, he can have human company. Usually that comes with mutual satisfaction. Sexual orientation hardly matters when you only see one person every 3 months or more. At least this man is sexy. His thighs are well muscled under his pants, toned from never being able to stop moving, and his hair falls halfway down his back, dreadlocks the way they're supposed to be, not like the one summer Frank grew his pathetic imitations. He says his name is Ronan, and at this point there's really no reason left to lie. Ronan smells like sweat and fruit. If they have time, Mikey will ask if he remembers what planet he just came from. The last few he's been on, he's made do with chewing on the jerky he stole planets ago. It's painfully spicy, and rock hard with age, and Mikey can't help but worry about what happens if he cracks a tooth. Dentistry isn't particularly available in a forest. His cock is heavy on his tongue, his hands the same on Mikey's shoulders. He remembers when this act used to have emotion attached. Passion, joy, need. Now it's nothing more than scratching someone's itch. Mikey sucks because it will make Ronan's life slightly more bearable. Ronan drops to his knees for the same reason. After they're done, Ronan asks if he wants to rest while he's sentry. Against his better judgment, Mikey finds himself falling asleep, head pillowed on his arm, Ronan beside him with his gun balanced on his knee. When Mikey wakes up with a shout, Ronan doesn't say anything, just offers him a container of water. He takes it, understanding the silence. It's probably better that way. It has come to my attention that overdue females give birth with less difficulty if they are relaxed due to orgasm. For a moment, Mikey is confused at why the Wraith is telling him this. He's obviously not a woman. He was captured in little more than a pair of pants. One of the other Thosians lent him a shirt when it became obvious they'd be here for a while. He sincerely fucking hopes there's nothing in his demeanor that has the Wraith thinking he'd be willing to chat casually. Even if he was open to chatting with a psychotic alien, he doesn't know anything about pregnancy anyway. His marriage to Pete doesn't necessarily preclude eventual offspring, but the frequent cullings producing children is essential regardless of orientation. But he and Pete haven't made a commitment to a widowed woman yet, let alone had a child with her. Just before he sneers, Pete would say something sarcastic that would get him hit, but Mikey's always been more close-mouthed than his husband. At the suggestion that he have a conversation with the thing that kidnapped his people, he remembers the object of the Wraith's attention. Michael's meaning suddenly hits him all too clearly. I can't. It's rape. I can't. Unsurprisingly, the Wraith doesn't show a thread of compassion or morality. You will, or I will use you for my experiments next. I am always in need of more bodies. Mikey would like to believe it's not just for his own sake that he complies. He and Pete are very strongly bonded. It's extremely likely, if not a straight certainty, that if Mikey dies, Pete will end his own life. Surely hurting an acquaintance is less of an evil act than pushing a loved one into suicide. His last salvation, the inability to get hard for the horror on the horizon, quickly turns to dust. When his body cannot achieve the state he requires, the Wraith injects him with something, and it's only moments before he's being shoved into the room Taylor is confined to. I'm sorry. He could say it a million times, and it wouldn't be enough, but it's all he can do. I don't want this. I have a husband. As do I. I understand. One day we will rend him limb from limb. They are the last words spoken. Mikey's bored, so he radios Gerard. Guess what just happened to me? Gerard's answer crackles through seconds later. He must not be busy either. That, or he knows whatever he's doing is less interesting than whatever his brother is about to tell him. Mikey, we're in the Pegasus Galaxy. That is never a safe thing to say. No, he corrects. I wish something interesting would happen. Is not safe. Guess what happened is just, like, telling the story. Now shut up and come here and see. I'm in with Keller. She won't let me leave. 5 minutes later, Gerard is staring at him, a combination of shock and wonder in his eyes. Of course what comes out is negative, because older brothers are jerks like that. What did you touch? Rodney McKay is going to kick your ass. And by kick your ass, I mean ridicule you intensely, because McKay couldn't actually fight a flea. Mikey would cross his arms. Except that makes his back move, and he's still not quite used to what happens when his back moves. He makes do with raising his eyebrows. He touched an ascension-making machine. He still wins the oh-shit-shouldn't-have-touched-that competition. Dude, you have wings! You're pretty close. Gerard can be cynical all he wants. Mikey knows in the weeks to come he and Lauren will have a rapid increase of winged figures in their art. In fact, Rodney doesn't immediately start to rant. Instead, he just looks at the wings and asks speculatively, "What do you think your load capacity is?" "I have no idea. I can fly, so 160 at least. Why?" "Could you lift double that?" "I don't know." He didn't exactly have much time to try stuff out. The machine turned on, flashed him, wings shot out of his back, and he was escorted to the med lab. Why? I've always had a fascination with sex in weightless scenarios. Perhaps if you were willing, I could find it in my heart to not write you up? Mikey rolls his eyes. A, that's blackmail, and Woolsey is too bureaucratic for it. B, do you really think you need to resort to it to get me to have sex? I have freaking wings, of course I'm going to test them out. Oh, and what? I asked first, so I get first dibs? Roddy snorts. He doesn't bother to answer, just lets the silence grow long before crossing his arms. As his shoulder blades move, the wings flare out to their fullest span before settling down again. It's answer enough. It's not because of the wraith, or the genii, or the possibility of a disaster at any moment that keeps Mikey up at night, though he freely admits that his pre-breakdown self wouldn't have reacted well to any of it. He was a different person then. He probably would have handled the stress with any drugs available, or by finding a mosh pit, or by making out with some androgynous body. Now he's surrounded by the awesome that is Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and Thosian festivals are as close as he gets to a decent concert. Even his drugs wouldn't meet past standards, just a standard antipsychotic. Honestly, it's still a complete mystery to him as to how he was one of the better candidates for going through the Stargate. In almost every way, the medication does what it's supposed to. The only issue is the one symptom of insanity it deepens rather than relieves. Insomnia. Before he left for Atlantis, that was fine. There are a lot of things to do at 5 a.m. in California. But with an ATA gene, he can feel the city get upset when he can't sleep. And nothing makes him feel more wide awake than someone nagging him to go to sleep. Staying in his room is only going to make him twitchy, so he goes for a walk. Atlantis suggests a direction, and he goes with the flow, too exhausted to put up a fight with his own mind. The reason for it is clear soon enough. Shepard is leaning over one of the balconies, looking into the water. Mikey doesn't get rhetorical with an, "Oh, awake too," or murmur a hello. Doesn't say anything. Just bends into the calm blackness below them. It's Shepard that speaks first, and his words are surprisingly casual for a topic men aren't supposed to discuss. Are you one of those guys that gets sleepy after an orgasm? Why? Trying to learn if suggesting a jerk-off session is inappropriate. Mikey shrugs. Wired exhaustion making him more talkative than normal. I don't really masturbate. It's too predictable. Well, okay then. Mikey is expecting that to be the end of it, not for Shepard to reach out and grope him through the worn pair of BDUs that he sleeps in. He's hardly going to argue it, though. Atlantis sighs in appreciation, and he's too tired to find it creepy or manipulative. The city crawling through his brain is why he's here. The end.